You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 377 and our 10th full season of the podcast. Today is Sunday, July 30th, 2017, and my name is Steve. I'm joined by both Hammy and Kurt. And folks, please help us out by giving us a review on iTunes or telling your friends about us and retweet the links to the show on Twitter. We'd really appreciate it. All right, guys, in tonight's show, we'll discuss Dansby's demotion, the Garcia trade, and we'll check in on Acuna and Albies. But first, a quick break. So guys, after starting just one of the three games against the D-backs earlier this week, Dansby was demoted to AAA. So it seemed inevitable to me, despite Snitker's first comments a couple weeks ago about believing it was best for Dansby to stay in the bigs. And then after his 0-for week last week and barely playing in Arizona this week, here we are. So, Ham, what are your thoughts about what the next, you know, few weeks or months hold for Dansby?
I don't know. I know you guys were both pro this move last week on the show. I was not. I think it's obvious that the Braves are sellers now after, I don't know, a horrible Cubs series, not a great Dodgers series, and then this just awful week that we've had. And I thought, if we're sellers, why send Dansby down? So I still don't 100% support it. But it's happened, and since it has happened, I'm all for keeping him down as long as possible, keeping him down through September call-ups, even beyond that, just to make sure he gets whatever he needs to get right. And for me, the thing we have to see is, can he hit sliders? I guess that's the reason it makes sense to send him down, is actually send him down where the sliders aren't as good. He can get his aggressiveness back. He can get his confidence back, and just build off of that. And then when he's showing that he can hit the slider at AAA very effectively, then we consider bringing him back. But I guess that was a roundabout way to say my thought is, don't rush him back. I don't want to see him back until he is crushing it in AAA again, because there is no reason to rush him back. We don't need him. He's not going to help the team win games. The team doesn't need to win games. So if you're going to send him down and go through with it, go all the way. Even if, you know what, and I would say, even if Phillips gets traded. If Phillips gets traded, bring Rio Ruiz up. Bring Albies up, maybe. Don't let anything take you off this path now that you've already committed to it.
If you're Dansby, don't you think that you're thinking you're going to come back up in September? And I really think it's kind of tricky, if they don't bring him up in September, what that potentially does to his head. I mean, Hammy, you're right. This is about confidence building, because he was so lost at the plate the last month. I mean, he stopped hitting fastballs. Forget about the slider.
It was the worst month of his career. Stuff.
Yeah, he was just watching fastballs go down the middle for called third strikes. It was terrible, right? But it's going to be that in between. If it's the last week in August and he's batting .240 with like a poor walk to strikeout rate, that's tricky.
Yeah.
You know, because do you really leave him down there in September?
I think you have to. Then this whole experiment was not worth it. Are you going to bring him back up so that he continues to struggle and not get around on curveballs and just look lost at the plate, like you said? I don't think you do. But maybe to your point, the psychological damage is even worse by not bringing him back up. I don't know. It's not an easy thing to do. I still am not 100% convinced it was the right move to do, even to send him down in the first place. I don't know what you think.
Well, again, if they weren't going to play him, which they clearly weren't going to play him, then I think it was the right
move.
But
why not play him?
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I think they should have played him. I think they should have kept playing him. But that decision was made by Snitker more than anybody, I would assume.
Sure.
Well, and it's sort of one of these things where now they have this glut of infielders, especially with Sean Rodriguez back. So I don't know where. I mean, they were still trying to win. So they were trying to put the best team out on the field.
Right. I mean, Three weeks ago, they were like, look, we're in this wild card chase and we're about at 500. We need to win.
Yeah. And he was nowhere in that equation. Camargo was the equation. Freddie Freeman moving to third with Matt Adams. All that stuff was in the equation. Dansby was a hole. I don't know. I'm curious if they've had some sort of internal conversation with him that this is not going to be like that. He shouldn't get amped up if something happens, that he's going right back up. And like you guys said, I mean, we sort of saw, and I don't even remember who it was. It was a pitcher that they sent back down and because they were really struggling up here. And then something happened where a starting pitcher and they like didn't even get a start at Gwinnett. They had to come right back up here. And so the whole purpose, it might have been Whistler, the whole purpose of the demotion was lost because it never even really had an opportunity to sort of get in the flow of playing baseball in a relaxed manner. Did you guys see that Damon Berryhill, who's the manager of Gwinnett, said that they're going to play him at second base too? Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I did see that.
Which was interesting.
Well, and yeah, I don't know what to make of that, to tell you the truth. Maybe it's getting ready for the Phillips trade. So if my memory serves, isn't that what happened to Francoeur? That first time they finally sent Francoeur down. And then they called him back like three games later.
Yeah, and didn't they send Francoeur? Didn't they send him to like Double-A or something? Didn't they send him farther down? Am I misremembering that?
Yeah, it sounds kind of familiar. I don't remember.
We don't need stats for these shows. They brought him right back up.
They brought him right back up.
And he did sort of what you would expect, which was nothing.
But it will be very interesting to see on Monday if Phillips gets traded, what they do. Because you're right, Kurt. I mean, look, they are very committed to getting Sean Rodriguez playing time, clearly. Now, he's going to be in left for the foreseeable future, I think, because of Kemp on the DL. But it'll be interesting to see if they can keep themselves from bringing Dansby back up.
Speaking of someone who could have used some more time to get prepped for Major League Baseball.
Sean Rodriguez.
Yeah, I mean, he struck out, I think, today the stat was, and he struck out as they were saying that stat. So it was 15 of 27 at-bats he's had. He struck out. I mean, his timing is clearly not there at all.
Yeah, no, he's having his rehab starts on the Major League team.
Right.
So another changes to the roster, guys, as we all expected. Jaime Garcia was traded to the Twins earlier this week for right-handed pitching prospect, that guy's name that I don't want to pronounce on the podcast. It's probably Huascar Noah.
No,
what do you think?
It's Ainoa. He's got a brother, Michael Ainoa, who pitches for the White Sox. And so I was able to find his last name.
Look at Hamilton coming up with the pronunciation.
I went to YouTube today. I couldn't find anything.
I wanted it to be Ainoa.
Ainoa.
Huascar Ainoa, yeah. Anyway.
Huascar. The Braves also sent Anthony Recker in the deal as well. The Twins covered all of Garcia's almost $5 million in salary. They did have to throw $100,000 in to cover the Recker part of the deal. So, Kurt,
which has to make Recker feel great.
Yeah. Curtis, what did you think of the trade?
Well, I guess when I first got word of this, I felt we talked about it with the eight teams and perhaps there would be some sort of quote unquote bidding war. And he had those two good starts right before he was traded and that they might be able, that they might be able to get something back. And then they get this guy who is like the Twins' 22nd rated prospect or something like that, but really
he's fringy.
Shown very little. It's a guy who throws real hard, but has control issues and is way down, 19-year-old, way down in their farm system. And then I saw what they turned around and got for him from the Yankees, which really is effectively the same, if not even. A guy who maxes out his fastball at like 89, 90 miles an hour and is a really old guy in the low levels of the Yankees farm system and really projects to barely even being able to make it on a major league roster. So clearly there was no bidding war going on for Jaime Garcia's services, and we got what we got, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Fangraphs described him as a low-level flyer with a chance to max out as a league-average starter. Yes, look, I thought that we were going to get more for him, partly because of the name that had been floated on the trade that, you know, did not happen in Nick Birdie, who, aside from the Tommy John surgery, seemed like a, you know, a very high ceiling for that guy.
I feel like he's settled. I feel like Copy settled. I mean, I think that especially when he had another Twins guy that was much higher than this, we couldn't get him, and then we're like, we'll just take the second best Twins guy. And I actually think what the Yankees gave up, I would have taken those two guys over what we got for Wainoa. I mean, I think both of them there's like essentially the same pitcher as he is, but there's two of them. So I think Copy panicked. And I don't know why he did that. I don't understand. I felt like I was so disappointed. I knew I was going to be disappointed. I was even more disappointed in what we got. And I don't understand why he just didn't wait until today or tomorrow.
Well, Hammy, let me give you one explanation, which is that the national writers, the day after the trade, started describing or explaining it that part of the reason the Braves took this fringy prospect was that the Twins would cover that $5 million so that the Braves could use it in pursuit of Sonny Gray. So on Sunday morning this week, I've seen in places the Braves and the Yankees were still in on Gray. I saw Ken Rosenthal tweet that the Braves have had limited contact with the A's about Sonny Gray. So, Pam, what do you think? Does that explain anything? Does this whole Garcia and Sonny Gray connection make any sense to you?
Maybe. It's not my money, but I'm like, $5 million seems nothing, right? I mean, they waste that money on just stupid promotions and stuff. So I just don't see why that would be the thing that now all of a sudden we can go after Sonny Gray. So I don't know. I mean, I'm excited about potentially going after Sonny Gray. I think if we don't give up Acuna, you know, which is, I know, obviously,
There's no way,
and it's not worth it. And I would be surprised if we got him. I think there's teams that are more desperate for him who are going to be willing to part with more to get him. So I don't think that is that he is in our future. But I would actually be happy if we could flip that. And if that happened, then obviously the picture on this trade changes 100%, right? And Copy's a genius again.
But I don't think they're even giving up Albies for Sonny Gray. I mean, Sonny Gray is essentially Tehran.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's not some ace. He would be a nice piece to have. He would make the rotation better, but he's not changing the trajectory of the franchise on day one because he's some top level guy. He's just not. He's a number three. All right, guys, so moving on to other headlines. So headline number one, Braves have an awful, awful week. 1-5, losing the first three to the worst team in baseball in the Phillies. I mean, the offense abandoned the team. Most notably, Kurt, you tweeted it out today. They went 8 for their last 50 with runners in scoring position. And so let's look at some of the individual performances this week. So Aaron Blair got the start in place of Garcia in the Wednesday game against the Diamondbacks, and he just laid an egg. 3 innings, 5 hits, 5 earned runs, 5 walks, 75 pitches to get through those 3 innings.
Don't you feel like the experiment's over on him?
Well, I was going to ask, can't we just leave Blair in AAA until he either doesn't figure it out or really figures it out and just absolutely forces their hand? Like, let's just stop running Blair out there until he really turns the corner.
He's 25. I feel like that ship has sailed. I feel like he's going to be...
I just wouldn't say it has completely sailed. It's revving its engines.
I mean, it's... I was the one that... And it got a lot of reaction about the... That I've sort of given up on Blair and Whistler.
Blistler.
And people were not really enthusiastic about that in some regard. Whistler obviously has a much longer record on the major league level, which every time he comes up, every opportunity he's had, it gets worse and worse. And I feel like with Blair, it's sort of the same thing. I know that he's only had 16 starts, but I mean, his numbers are fugly.
I mean, it's just, let's just let them be some great depth in AAA and stop rushing them. I know that they felt like they didn't have a lot of choice. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So staying with starting pitching, Bad Julio reared his head again in Philadelphia this week, going 4 2/3, 8 earned, and 3 home runs.
Well, 7 of them were in 1 inning.
Well, and that's 26 homers on the year. That's third most in Major League Baseball. And if you look at the guys who's Ricky Nolasco, Lackey, Tanaka, all their ERAs, not surprisingly, north of 5, other than Lackey, who's sort of right up against it. So turns out you give a bunch of homers, you're going to give up a bunch of runs as a result.
It's so maddening, though, because when he's not giving up those homers, his stuff is still nasty. I mean, he throws a 93-mile-per-hour slider that's just like, it's sick. It has such great movement on it, but then he hangs those pitches, and then the wheels fall off. He's just bad now. I mean, this was since the All-Star break when we were one game below 500, we're just have been horrible, and it's infecting everybody on the team. I mean, Julio on the road is supposed to be one of our most dependable things, and we can't even count on that anymore.
We can count on Folty.
That's true.
You know, Folty's really become the really dependable pitcher, and Dickey to an extent. All right, so Jim Johnson did not help his trade by giving up a homer to blow the save in Saturday night's game, and then coming in the 8th in Sunday's game, throwing a wild pitch and giving up a walk, getting only one out. So, you know, after Sunday's game, Snitker came out and said, essentially, Johnson's not the closer anymore. They're going to mix and match, depending on matchups, et cetera, et cetera. So that's at least a good piece of news. I mean, my hope is that Johnson gets traded on Monday for whatever. A bag of balls.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They've got numbers that you guys like, this FIP, XFIP numbers that are not terrible, and that's what's saying might still draw interest. The FIP is 2.53, XFIP is 3.23. So he might still have some value for somebody up there. It's obviously not going to be as a closer, but maybe as a setup guy somewhere.
He just doesn't pass the eye test, though. I mean, he hasn't
for a while.
Yeah. I mean, I think I agree. If we get anything for him, I feel like we're lucky.
And then lastly, Matt Kemp was placed on the 10-day DL this week after pulling his hamstring again. But the team made it sound like it would be longer than 10 days. So lots of Sean Rodriguez coming up, lots of Danny Santana. Maybe the DL will do him some good and he'll have a good September.
Maybe. I mean, he had a second half. His slash line was 278, 316, 426. He hasn't been horrible. I mean, obviously, he started the season so hot, so everything pales in comparison to that. But
And he has stopped going the other way. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but he just pulls everything. Everything is a ground ball to the shortstop, leading to the fact that he is leading the league in ground and in double plays. He's just pulling everything since he started having, you know, problems like a month before the All-Star break.
Yeah.
It's been a weird season for him.
And he's slow. He looks really slow.
Oh, God. Yeah. It's painful to watch him run.
He does look like he's getting a lot fatter.
Definitely. He's definitely put weight on since the season began.
Well, and I will ask you guys, we obviously saw what happened with the Twins, that they were right in it. They made the move for Garcia, and then all of a sudden their wheels came off, and all of a sudden they're selling off pieces. Aren't you glad? I don't know that. I mean, obviously, that's not the word because we all want the Braves to win, given that we're such fair weather fans. But isn't it good that this happened so they would not be compelled to continue to chase this?
Well, I think the only danger was the giving up pieces for a rental. And I guess I just don't think there was much danger of that.
Yeah. Well, but even maybe overpaying for Sonny Gray.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'll give you that.
But yep. I don't think that the Sonny Gray move would be a move to win this year. Somebody's going to take him. And then this controllable starter.
Yeah.
Two more years is gone. And even in the offseason, those guys aren't going to be around. So I think Coppy was really looking towards next year and the year after with that move. But I think I sort of am glad. I don't have, I'm with you exactly, Curtis. I don't want to ever see the Braves lose, but I'm glad that there wasn't this shiny coin that they went after, because this is – the Braves were surprising when they were contending this season. I don't think this is surprising. I hate to say. It's just we have a bad bullpen. We have a lot of young bats and a lot of old bats. We're not quite there, and you know,
and uneven starting pitching.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, this is really who we were, ultimately.
All right, let's take a look at AAA this week. So, God, Acuna had an amazing week. Acuna batted 400, a 437 on base, two homers, two doubles, and a triple. Mm. You know, Acuna's had his second or third week had a number of offers. He was, you know, it was looking like he was sort of struggling a bit. God, he came back strong this week. Albies as well. Albies just continues to simply hit. 304 batting average this week, 370 on base, three doubles. And Dansby, in his three games this week for Gwinnett, he had three singles, two walks, two strikeouts. So, you know, his first game, he was batting third, and Albies was first. Acuna was second. First game at AAA, Albies hits a single. Acuna hits a single. Dansby grounds into a double play. And I was like, oh, no, it's going to ruin everything for him the entire time he's down there.
Trade him back. Trade him back. Where's Dave Stewart? Get Dave Stewart on the phone.
And some other organizational moves. So Gohara, who the Braves acquired from the Mariners in the Malik Smith Shea Simmons trade, was bumped up to AAA. He started one game for Gwinnett this week, and it was not so good. 4 2/3, five earned, five walks. But this guy could really be a piece. I mean, he blew through both high A and double A. I'm very excited to see what Gohara does the rest of the season in AAA. And then our old buddy Touki Toussaint, who was part of that trade where the Braves traded Phil Gosselin to the Diamondbacks for Arroyo and Touki, and then got rid of Arroyo. He moved up to the Double-A team. He has not pitched for Mississippi yet, but he seems to be turning a corner this year as well. I really think Gohara, you know, he's going to be hitting his five-year mark, and so I think they're trying to protect him from the Rule 5 draft, you know, thinking they'll get him on the 40-man. But I think he could really be a contender for a spot in the starting rotation next year. Be good to see what he does.
Yeah, I think is it ridiculous to think we'll see him in September, maybe even?
Maybe. I imagine they let him see what he can do a little bit more in AAA. I mean, he'll only have a couple of starts under his belt by the time September comes.
But he is destroying it. 99 strikeouts and 88 in a third inning. Only 28 walks. Obviously, the competition gets much harder as you move up, but he has got the stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, guys, next up is Shot in the Dark, but first a quick break. All right, guys, Shot in the Dark, our predictions for the coming week. And let's start by reviewing how everyone did last week. We'll begin with our listener Shot in the Dark from Steven, who predicted that Sean Newcomb would throw a shutout this past week. And it was a very nice bounce back start for Newcomb, who went five innings. He gave up one earned. So good job, Steven. Very close on that. You know, Newcomb, again, obviously a much better start, but three walks. The walks have climbed, right? That was one of the concerns when they called him up, because he walked a bunch of guys in AAA. And he gave up 10 walks in his first five starts in the majors. It's been 15 walks over his last four starts. So that is definitely something he's got to work on. But nice to see him have a nice start there. Yeah.
He got Jim Johnson's too.
Yeah, he did get Jim Johnson. Can we say that on a kid-friendly show? I don't know.
We're now 0-6 in Philadelphia, for the record. And we've lost 8 of 10, I think, is what I saw against the Phillies this year.
Right, but they're like 12 games over 500, right?
It's true.
Yeah.
Them and the Dodgers.
Yeah, exactly. Thing. So I don't know why you're like, oh, we keep losing Philly. Yeah.
We really should have had Philly Dan on the show.
All right, let's see how the three of us did. So, Ham, you predicted that Freddie would hit three homers and you were just three off.
Oh, man. I have really been bad luck for all of our guys. I'm sorry, Camargo. Spoiler alert.
All right, Kurt, you had Ender hitting over 325 with two homers. He hit 250 with zero.
Yeah, did anybody hit this week?
No.
Kurt Suzuki. I take it all back.
Yeah, really?
Spoiler alert.
All right, so I
Fair
predicted
Fairweather fan. Bandwagoner. Sorry. Go, Steve.
That's all right. I predicted that Dansby would get sent down and that someone other than Johnson would get the most save opportunities. So obviously, part one came true. But there was only one save opportunity this week that sadly JJ did not come through on. Yeah. So
he did get close, the opportunity, though.
He did get the opportunity. That's right. Yes. So Kurt wins the month with a 2-0 shutout.
Nice.
So nice work there, Curtis. All right. We got to pick it up here, Hammy. What do you got for this coming week and the first week of August?
Camargo has 10 hits this week, including one homer and three doubles.
He is a doubles machine.
He is.
All right, Curtis, how about you?
My namesake, Kurt Suzuki, bats over 300 with five extra base hits.
Very nice. All right. I am. I got some levels on this one. I'm predicting, well, one, that Lucas Sims gets what would be the two Garcia starts this week, and that Sims gives up four earned or less over his two starts. All right, folks, don't forget to get your shots in the dark in before first pitch on Monday. And it is an early game, 12:30 on Monday. So get those in early, and if we pick yours, we'll discuss it on next week's show. All right, guys, let's look at the week ahead. So seven games this week, one more against the Phillies in Philadelphia, and then the Braves come home, three against the Dodgers and three against the Marlins, and let's take a look at the pitching matchup. So finishing out the Philadelphia series, Folty will face Nick Pivetta and his 573 ERA, clearly a loss for the Braves. Heading back home against the Dodgers, where, like we said, we're guessing it'll be Lucas Sims, and he'll get the start against Maeda and his 409. Next will be Tehran at home, where he flourishes. He'll face Brock Stewart.
Homer City.
He'll face Brock Stewart, who just joined the starting rotation after the Kershaw injury. He has a zero ERA coming out of the bullpen. Next up will be Newcomb versus Alex Wood. Who, guys, Wood is going to, like, throw a complete game shutout against us, mm-hmm. right after the travesty of his game in L.A. and breaking his 11-0 streak. And I'm very worried about that Alex Wood start.
I actually think the exact opposite, but that it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. All right. I like
we have his number. I think we're in his head.
Side bet.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. On to the Marlins series, where we'll see Dickey face Adam Conley in his 5-11. Next up will be Folty in his second start of the week against Dan Straley and his 379. And then Sunday, the Jaime Garcia slot again. Let's assume it'll be Sims or maybe Medlin if Sims gets crushed. He will face Urania and his 404. But guys, don't you think that even if Sims has a bad start to start the week, they're not going to just pull him, right? Don't you think they give him at least one more?
Yes.
Probably, unless it's just like soul-crushingly bad.
Yeah, unless he's just like a Bartolo Colon start out there.
Yeah,
just for the sake of your shot in the dark.
Well, if nothing else. But I mean, they have to be at least considering him as a piece for next year. So they've got to give him more than one start to see what they have, I would think.
I do too.
We shall see. All right, so Hammy, what do you think these seven games? What do the Braves do?
I think we go 4-3. I think we win tomorrow with Folty and break the Phillies curse. And then I think we win two of the Dodger games and one of the Marlins games.
Wow.
You know,
the Marlins have passed the Braves in the wild card standings and the National League East standings. Because the Marlins are something like 7-3 or 8-2 over their last 10. Anyway, Curtis, what do you got?
I'm going to go 2-5.
Fairweather fan.
Yep.
I will go 3-4, but I agree, Hammy, that Folti is going to win Monday in Philadelphia at least. We will have that.
All right, folks. Yeah, and I think Wood loses. I think Wood loses his. I think Folti wins both of his, and I think Sims wins one of his starts. There you have it.
Got to be great for Sims to come up and win his first game. Oh, let Sims like have something and look good up here.
And let's hit. Let's just hit the ball. Let's say.
Like the one good part of the team, the one consistent part of the team. When it abandons the team, it gets pretty ugly, yeah. Like we've seen. All right, folks, that is the show. Remember, you can find us at Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. As always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access past shows and to post in our comments section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.